genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation or ask a question of any of my guests, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme in the second hour is luck, pluck, and donate a buck. Each of my guests will talk about their expertise in one of these three areas. My first guest looks at charitable donors who do more than donate money towards causes. He examines the six practices of donors who change the world and draws some conclusions about philanthropy in the United States. My second guest is an innovator, an instigator, an evangelist, and a serial entrepreneur. He's a best-selling author and a highly visible spokesperson for technology and how it can improve our lives. We'll discuss how to wield more influence in the digital age by enchanting customers from his book titled Enchantment, The Art of Changing Hearts, Minds, and Actions. My third guest knows we could all use a little bit more luck sometimes. She's identified seven proven ways to get your lucky on. We'll discuss those ways from her book, Create Your Own Luck. And if you want to talk to any of my guests or join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. John Kenya is the managing director at FSG, which is a global nonprofit strategy consulting firm, and he helps organizations achieve social impact by applying research, strategy, and evaluation to better solve social problems. John has 20 years' experience in the field. At FSG, John leads strategic planning efforts for foundations, nonprofits, and corporate philanthropy in issues, well, just a whole wide range of issues. Prior to joining FSG, John was a partner both at Mercer Management Consulting and Corporate Decisions Incorporated. He's been published in a variety of publications. He speaks frequently around the United States on improving the impact of philanthropy and corporate social responsibility. Welcome to the show, John. How are you today?
Good, Billy. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I have been on the show and being a guest because I love having thought leaders, and you are clearly one of the thought leaders in the nonprofit sector. And there's so many things in reading your book that I didn't know. And here's some just interesting facts to set the stage about philanthropy in the United States. There are some nearly 75,000 philanthropic organizations in the United States today. And interesting about that is nearly half of them were created in the last two decades. There's been a real rush on that. Private foundations account for approximately $30 billion of the $300 billion annual giving in the United States. Baby boomers possess about $40 trillion in wealth. That was a staggering number, of which an estimated $7 trillion will go to nonprofits. And as the baby boomers age, there will be sort of a renaissance in charitable giving. So that all sounds very positive, all very good, and some numbers that were staggeringly large. But despite all of this seemingly good news, you and your co-authors contend that philanthropy is actually underperforming relative to its potential. Explain what you mean by that, John.
Yeah, Billy. Well, you point out what would, on the surface of things, be a really positive situation. But we do think philanthropy is underperforming. And I think you have to start with, in the face of all this enormous wealth creation and funneling of dollars into the nonprofit sector, the major problems we're facing, to any yardstick you look at, in education, public education, health, the environment, poverty and social justice, things just continue to get worse. So we sort of see the opportunity as twofold. First, in our work, the vast majority of foundations, both those that are staffed and not staffed, are writing checks and putting money out the door, but they have no idea whether or not they're having an impact. And that's really, one of the biggest questions we get from foundation boards that come to us is, we've been giving away money for 10, 20 years or more, and we have no idea if we're having an impact. And that's clearly got to change. And I think, you know, the second thing is that, and it's, this is really the central premise of our book, Do More Than Give, is that philanthropy can significantly improve its performance if donors focus on what they can do beyond just writing checks, if they marshal all their resources, political, business, social and family connections, as well as their know-how to help drive and solve social and environmental problems. And this isn't happening. It's much more the exception than the rule.
All right. Well, very interesting premise. Now, let's go back to the first fundamental thing that you say. The foundations, they write the checks, but they don't measure the impact. Now, in business, of course, whenever we spend money, we want to see the return that we get for the money. However, in the nonprofit world, that has never been the case up until now. Even one of the greatest philanthropists of all times, Andrew Carnegie, never measured the effectiveness of the money that his foundation has given out over the years, and that's got to be tens of billions of dollars at this point. So why now do organizations, foundations want to start to measure their impact more than they have in the past?
Well, you know, I think there are a couple of reasons. One is that you do have many people from different sectors, government and business, entering the nonprofit sector and really looking, you know, they're used to assessing performance and they want to see performance and they want to understand, quote unquote, you know, return on investment. So you have more people focused on that. There's also, you know, the fact that, you know, frankly, we're in an environment where if you look at, you know, the public resources that are going to be available going forward to address social and environmental issues, you know, the government may close in a week, but even if it doesn't, we know that we're going to be in a situation with many fewer public resources at our disposal to address these problems than we have in the past. And I think philanthropy, happily, you know, many in philanthropy are sort of taking on the challenge of saying, okay, you know, we have a great opportunity here to, you know, sort of address some of these critical issues. There's less that's going to be coming from government, but we've got to get a higher return, higher leverage out of what we're doing today.
All right, we're talking to John Kenya, everybody, author, co-author of the book Do More Than Give, The Six Practices of Donors Who Change the World. And John, in your book, you kind of differentiate different types of nonprofit organizations. Most of us are familiar with the large private foundations and, of course, the corporate foundations. Private foundations being like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation that I mentioned earlier. Corporate, General Electric, a big giver of money. Shell Foundation, part of Shell Oil, also a big foundation. But there's a third type there that was new to me, and that was what you call a place-based foundation. Explain what is a place-based foundation and why are they important now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the term place-based foundations is probably a bit of an insider baseball for those who don't spend their entire days thinking about philanthropy, but it's an important concept if what you care about is impact. So place-based foundations are foundations that are located in a particular region, and they devote their grant-making and their work to the region they're in. So that would differ from the Gates, Rockefeller, Carnegies, and Fords of the world, who are national, international in their scope, and you know, don't often have familiarity with the regions in which they're doing grant making. So you might take a foundation like the Irvine Foundation that only funds in the state of California, or Meyer Memorial Trust that only funds in Oregon. Community foundations are place-based by definition. So there's the Ventura County Community Foundation. There's the California Community Foundation that funds only in L.A., and what you have is because, you know, people, the boards and staffs and donors of these foundations, you know, they work and they live in the regions that they're funding, they've got a much better, more visceral understanding of the issues that support the regions, and they've got a better ability to build relationships and shape the agenda because they know local leaders and key challenges in the local community. And they're much better positioned, frankly, than, you know, these much larger foundations that we've all heard of to coordinate local resources. If you live near a polluted lake, you're in a much better position to mobilize the community to clean up the lake. If you're the CEO of a board of a local place-based foundation doing work in that region, you're much better positioned to get your company involved in supporting local education reform than, you know, a national or global organization like the Gates Foundation that supports education.
Wow, John, in that answer, you've really done your homework. The Ventura County Foundation, Community Foundation, very good research there. And we have several people that listen to the show regularly who are part of the VCCF, so thank you for that. But let me ask you, on these place-based foundations, are they on the rise right now? Are we seeing, because, you know, restaurants are turning more towards buying local produce. Everybody wants to cut down on their carbon footprint, so people are becoming what they call localvores. It sounds to me like charities are doing the same thing. They're becoming more local as well. Are we seeing these place-based foundations on the rise, and do you think that that will be a trend over the next 5 years?
Well, it's a really good question. I think we're seeing more place-based work in that even some of the national foundations are saying, gee, if we distribute our grants all over the country, whether or not we're supporting educational issues or environmental issues, and we don't really think about how change happens, then we're not going to have a lot of impact. And the result is that a lot of change does happen and emanate at the community level. And, you know, if you're trying to address any issue, whether it's public education reform or, you know, even climate change in your region, you know, lowering the community, the community's sort of carbon footprint, it's easier if you can get, you know, all the various stakeholders around the table, the local government, the state government, corporations, foundations, and community activists. If you can get them all around the table, you've got a better chance of solving the problem. And I think whether or not, you know, more foundations become place-based, is a question. Foundations are created every day, but more foundations sort of understanding that they can have an impact in their local community and organizing and taking advantage of that. We hope we see more of that, and we think we do.
Well, no one would know better than you. We're talking to John Kenya, everybody, author of the book Do More Than Give. And John, it's interesting because you've identified a new type of donor, one that you call the catalytic donor. So first of all, what is a catalytic donor, and why is a catalytic philanthropy needed now more than ever?
Yeah, so when we talk about a catalytic donor, we're talking about somebody that does more than just donate money. And again, the vast majority of foundations and individual donors, that's what they do. They give away their money to meaningful causes. And that, in fact, is wonderful. And, it's great that's happening. But as I said before, we're looking at a world where we're not making progress on these serious social issues. So what we're sort of suggesting in the book is that donors can move beyond just giving away their money, and they can catalyze action across different sectors of society. So they can speak out and advocate to government leaders to change ineffective laws and create new ones. They can use their clout and influence to steer businesses to become engines of social progress. They can collaborate with other foundation partners and nonprofit peers, and they can empower the very individuals they're seeking to help. So they go beyond just purely giving away money to trying to influence the conditions that can actually change and improve a lot of these serious social and environmental issues we face today.
All right, John. Help to make it a little clearer for some of my listeners out there. Give us some examples from the news of catalytic philanthropy in action today.
Yeah, so, GE is much in the news for clearly their approach to, and their, you know, their effectiveness with their tax policy, if you will. It's interesting to look at how they stack up as a catalytic philanthropist. I actually think they're one of the best, and I'll sort of refer to one program in Africa. GE was interested in having an impact in improving healthcare outcomes in Africa. And they decided to work initially in Ghana, in a district with a population of 100,000 people, but only access to their only access to healthcare was a single midwife within 100,000 people.
Wow.
So what they did is they said, okay, we've got a lot of things to bring as a company to improving healthcare infrastructure. We it's not only about doctors, but it's about clean water, reliable energy, state of the art medical technology, and we as a company have a substantial expertise in all those areas. So they focused on this one district. They got together a cross-sector partnership that included the state health ministry, local members of parliament, the mayor, tribal leaders, nonprofit organizations working in the region, and got each partner to contribute to the project. The government waived import fees on the medical equipment and power equipment that GE donated. The ministry agreed to assign a doctor to the region and to complete a half-finished and abandoned hospital. The local nonprofits worked with tribal leaders and local residents to dig trenches for water pipes and to construct a building to house a generator. And within 9 months, GE was able to get up a fully functioning hospital that was staffed within the region, and basically at a pace that even few nonprofits could match. And they've been able to replicate this approach in a number of other African countries and in Latin and South America. So that's going well beyond giving and saying, how can we, take ownership of the problem and see what we can do to solve it.
Wow, that is a great example. We're talking to John Kenya, everybody, co-author of the book, Do More Than Give, The Six Practices of Donors Who Change the World. And John, one of the things that I took away from your book was the amount of research that you did in compiling this book. What findings surprised you the most amongst your research?
Well, I guess there are a couple of things. We talk about the need for donors to be more proactive and catalytic. I think one of the things that we want to be clear with as we communicate out that message is that that doesn't mean that you go out and you do things on your own. Philanthropy, if you're effective with it, is neither a solitary effort by the donor nor is it sort of a dialectical effort between just the donor and the grantee. And part of what we advocate for, and one of our practices is around leveraging nonprofit networks, is that, donors really need to engage with others if they're going to catalyze change. And what's sort of surprising is that, ironically, when you think about the need to collaborate, engage with large numbers of folks to bring about change, nonprofits who have to go out and compete and raise money are probably less resistant to that concept than foundations and funders who typically, want to get credit for their own specific initiatives. And then that was certainly a surprise.
Yeah, that is an eye-opener. We've been talking to John Kenya, everybody, co-author of the book, Do More Than Give, The Six Practices of Donors Who Change the World. John, if people are interested in what you say and want to learn more about you, learn more about your company, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Probably best place is our website is fsg.org. Gives examples of our work. We have a knowledge exchange with the book and many of the articles and white papers that we've written. And there's also an opportunity to engage with us directly online through our various blogs.
All right, fsg.org, a great place to start. John, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy. Enjoyed being here.
Thank you. Enjoyed it a lot.